All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 53 today. And today we're going to be previewing some of the matches that are going to be going on Big Ten Network for the Big Ten Wrestling Championship. So we're going to recap. We're going to be going over Session 1, Session 2, which are essentially everything up to the semifinals. You know, all the medal matches, and I think final, like, consolation stuff is all going to be going on tomorrow. So we'll just be looking over some big matches we might see. One, I don't think we're going to get too into. I don't think we're going to get too into the Kirk Fleet versus Paris match, because again, we already have separate episode for that, which was dropped yesterday. So you guys can check that out if you really want to. But we have some other big matches going on. So, you know, David already has the brackets pulled up, right? So yep. Get us started. Like 125, you know, obviously it's been talked about. It's Lee's weight class, right? I don't think anybody with the brain really argues that at this point. But yep. If you really look at it, we still have some big matchups. You know, there's 8 spots on the podium. Lee can't take all 8 of them. You know, so what are some big matches that you see in the quarterfinals coming up? Because, you know.
Well, there's potential for a Malik Heinzelman-Robert Howard rematch. Yeah. That all depends on how Howard does against Barnett, which obviously Eric Barnett is not someone to just look past.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, there's one of the questions that gets answered is kind of Dylan Ragusan, which obviously he's facing Spencer Lee in the quarters, which
obviously. But I do want to talk about, actually before that, is like he has Michael DiAgostino. Michael DiAgostino was previously ranked 3rd in the country, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and he is seated higher than Dylan Ragusan right here. Whether that be because of criteria or whether that be because he's just straight up better, you don't know right now. We will find that out. You know, a lot of questions could be answered because I've seen an absurd amount of people pick Dylan Ragusan over Spencer Lee, which is kind of like, like you don't really know what to think about that, right? But just looking big into this, you know, you have Ravon Foley pulling Jacob Moran. Shouldn't be too close of a match, you know, if Ravon Foley wrestles good. He is and more of an on and off guy, so if he cannot really pull the switch, and it may be a little bit closer than it should be, but.
Yeah.
Then you have, I think, Devin Schroeder versus Justin Cardani is a very good match to look forward to. You know, Devin Schroeder, I think, he was the second best guy in this weight class in the Big Ten last year. You know, took a couple of losses this year, got caught and pinned by Barnett. Other things happened. I know you don't like to say he was caught and pinned. It was a readjustment, but I'll just take it for what it's worth right there. So. Looking at that, how do you really view this Devin Schroeder versus Justin Cardani matchup?
It's intriguing. I mean, like you said, Devin Schroeder has been ranked as high as number 2 behind Spencer Lee, which at 125, because I feel like a lot of weights in the Big Ten, if you're like top 3 in the conference, you're top 3 in the country, which has never really been the case with 125. Mm-hmm. So the question, I feel like it's just going to come down to, like, Schroeder's probably going to be plugging some holes positionally. I mean, whenever you talk about the Eric Barnett matchup, the thing that was just really intriguing is that in terms of the adjustment that I always talk about Barnett is that so what happened was basically Barnett goes for a roll, but Schroeder was keeping like a crab hook in a right spot, and he kept his head very close to Barnett's, and that's what the first roll through didn't work. The second roll through, he made that mistake. So we're probably going to be seeing a Schroeder that's worked very specifically on that little ride that he does, because it's probably one of his go-tos. So I don't know, man. I mean, I hope Schroeder wins just because I want to see him rematch Barnett.
Yeah.
But then again, I also want Howard to win. So if that happens, then that can happen. So,
you know, obviously,
it's a surprisingly intriguing weight class for one where the number 1 is pretty much decided.
Yep. So one thing that I want to talk about is say if, like, I do want to root for Howard, but, you know, theoretically, if Howard wins this matchup, maybe beats Malik Heinzelman, maybe he does. Malik Heinzelman is looking good this season. You know, the money has, my pick has to be him right now. You know, again, like completely unbiasedly, Malik Heinzelman has his reputation kind of tarnished because of 2 bad seasons before. But now he's actually good. Nobody's giving them the respect he deserves.
Heinzelman is actually my first pick to make the finals.
Yeah, I can agree with that too. I like him, but however, I think Devin Schroeder showed up during Big Tens last year. I think he shows up again.
Yeah.
I think he may be the guy to not get pinned against especially, if I do say that.
He could be.
You know, he didn't get pinned last year. He didn't get teched last year. You know, obviously, people always want to say, oh, this guy's getting so much better. I'm like, so is everybody else in the weight class. That's not how that works. But, you know, that's not – you know, that being said, let's jump right into 133. So 133, the biggest story of this, I think the only thing we really want to talk about, because there's no big first-round matchups with Roman Bravoyung getting a bye to the quarters and Austin DeSanto getting a bye to the quarters also, right? So what we really only want to talk about is Sammy Alvarez from Rutgers, who was the 3 seed, was pulled out of the tournament this morning.
So, I mean, the way that this has panned out, it's really – I mean, obviously, it's never, like, no question, especially because DeSanto can be a little hit and miss. He's a little inconsistent, especially in the postseason. So, but, I mean, for the most part, we're looking at a DeSanto RBY rematch, and I keep forgetting where they're at in their series.
They're 2-2, pretty sure.
They're 2-2? Sweet. Yeah. So, we get that fifth match. We'll see how it's panned out. I mean, Robin Bravo Young has looked phenomenal. Yeah. So...
You know,
the smart pick would probably be RBY. I mean,
both of them.
I've always rooted very hard for DeSanto, so I want him to win, especially because I mean, I don't know if I'm not a huge fan of RBY. I can appreciate what he does. He's a phenomenal wrestler, but I mean, I'm a huge, like, genuine fan of DeSanto.
Yeah.
So, in terms of like other matchups that I really like.
I don't see any.
I always like watching Boo Dryden wrestle. Mm-hmm. I always like watching that guy wrestle. I just don't feel like Jordan Decatur or Tucker Seal. I can't pronounce that goddamn last name.
Tucker.
I don't think they have much to offer to stop DeSanto from going to the
final. All right. Yeah, but now as we say this, it comes down to RBY versus Santa. You know, obviously, who you likes. Do you like to see guys flying around the mat, or do you want to see a guy trying to physically punish another human being, you know?
That's what it
comes down to. This match is a complete toss-up, you know? Everybody's always going to bring up that cradle he cried out of, and Iowa fans are just going to be biased because they've taken over the world pretty much at this point. But that being said, you know, obviously it could go either way. You know, I wouldn't count out DeSanto. He's been on a rampage as of now. And all the shit he does kind of come back to bite him in the ass. People just don't give him credit for how good he is, as we've said before. But that being said, I think it's a 1-2 matchup right there.
Yep.
No, obviously, DeSanto, I don't think, has any trouble. Might even tech falls way there. RBY might tech falls way and pin there, too. But it all depends what happens there.
Has DeSanto wrestled fixed, like, ever?
He lost 2-0. He got rode for 2 minutes.
I'm not surprised at that. 2-0?
Yeah.
Fix wrestled full score in that, but shit.
No, he fixed handled DeSanto in that one, in my opinion. But either way, let's hop into 133. I think the biggest kind of problem about
131
But going back to 133, actually, because I forgot to say this, the one problem with Alvarez out is DeSanto may be kind of fresh in the finals, and that's not a man you want to mess with, right? So that being said, let's hop into 141, right? So here, our top three seeds are, of course, Jaden Ironman at the 1, Nick Lee at the 2, and Sebastian Vera at the 3. I don't think there's any too great of matchups here. I think one I do want to talk about is Parker Phileas versus Drew Madden, which I think is a good matchup. Could go either way, obviously, 8 versus 9 seed. I think Chad Red versus Colin Valdivies may be a little bit closer, but I think Chad Red has solidified himself as the 4 guy. You know, Cassiope's on the island of himself. Same thing with kind of Chad Red in this weight class. So what I do want to talk about is Parker Phileas versus Drew Madden, so you can give me your first thoughts on that.
I haven't seen enough of Drew Madden or Parker Phileas wrestling to really have a good take.
Yeah. So what I'm going to say, like, Drew Madden was the old 125 a while back, you know. And he, I think, is very underrated in my opinion, you know. The betting odds for this are obviously going to be in Sebastian Rivera's favor. I don't know why they wouldn't be for Big Tens, obviously. He's came out on top the past 2 years. I don't see any reason why he can't do it again. Wasn't predicted to the last 2 years. But that being said, you know, I have Drew Madden come out on top of this match, and I have him doing a pretty – decently, right? So I think Drew Madden gives Jaden Ironman more of a match than people think. I think either keeps it to decision or at worst a major. Now, if he gets caught and pinned, you know, Jaden Ironman does it to a lot of guys. Chad Red, however, Chad Red, I think, is the one person to score a takedown Jaden Ironman this whole season.
It pains me so much that, like, Etchemendia got taken out by injury. And, I mean, he obviously wasn't, like, I didn't think he was going to be, like, some guy in the finals, really. But he just – it was so cool to watch.
Yeah. I think about Etchemendia, though. I think if he can stay off bottom, I don't see any reason – or just not get turned to give up a riding time about him, which is easier said than done, by the way. So I think if he can do that, I don't see any reason why he can't win this weight class.
Yep.
Because it was a tied match with Ironman. It's not like Ironman was dominating the match. And you saw the pain on his face when he got rolled through, like, right on top of his ankle. Like, that shit hurts, man.
Yeah.
Like the dude's been through so much shit, but he's also overcome so much. You know, I watched the Mad Awareness podcast with Anthony Etchemendia. That shit was awesome, right? He's got defied the odds, did everything right, got to this point just for this shit to happen to him. Like, you legitimately got to feel bad for the guy at that point. But
yeah, you
know, in the finals, obviously the predictions are Jaden Ironman. I think if Nick Lee can beat Sebastian Rivera pretty decently, I think that's going to be a telltale sign that he may be a favorite in the finals. But Jaden Ironman is obviously going to be a favorite now. So
if Seabass makes the finals in this tournament,
yeah,
I think he just wins it all, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, of course. You saw that, like, last season. You know, last season, obviously, he wasn't a favorite, but he only lost to Seth Gross because that weird lat drop from bottom, whatever, Gross hit on him. You know, comes back to win the match. I don't know why people are shocked, you know? And I don't think RBY was on the caliber of Sebastian Rivera. That's just RBY had good draws and all that. So hopping into 149, you know, it's been said before and again, Sammy Sosa's weight class, right? But I think a match I really want to talk about is, you know, Sammy Sosa and Max Mirren have proven themselves to be number one and two. And Sosa pinned Mirren, which is huge, right?
Yep.
But I think the one match I really want to talk about here is Bo Bartlett comes in at an 11 seed. He has Michael Blockus first round. Michael Blockus is no slouch. And I thought he was like, oh, he may be a little bit overhyped at first. He's proven himself to be on this level, and maybe he beats Bo, maybe he doesn't. I think this is a toss-up, right? Say if he does win, he has Griffin Perriott. I think Griffin Perriott is probably the most beatable three seed in this tournament.
Yeah.
And then he has Max Mirren. You know, he has a hell path set in front of him, but if he somehow just learned from Sasso's match, he can make the finals. I wouldn't doubt that. However, I do have Sasso over Mirren in the finals, and I have Bo coming in at either third or fourth.
Yeah, pretty handily. I mean, Sasso just stuck Mirren. So, I mean, whenever the number one guy pins the number two guy, like,
yeah.
And obviously it's not even like some freak thing like with Barnett and Schroeder. Like, everyone knows that Sasso cradles, right? So, I mean, shit. I mean, if you ever want to solidify yourself in your weight class, that's how you do it.
Sasso's number two in the country, I actually think, right now, behind Austin O'Connor. Still hasn't gotten criteria.
Oh,
yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, that being said, you know, I think this weight class is Sasso's. I think Sasso hasn't formed the gap, but he's a good enough defensive wrestler to be able to win close matches and do it consistently at that.
Yes.
Going into 157, you know, it's been said over and over again, this weight class has a little bit more depth, though. That's something people don't talk about. I have Deacon over Young in the finals, and I have Deacon over Young 7-2. 7-3, actually. Yeah. No, I think that's a solid pick. But who's the guy to watch out for here? Chase Soldate.
I mean, okay, he's going to be wrestling Young if he wins his first match, which, I mean, that's a pretty tough test.
And Young is a guy who's been beaten before, though. Young's not a guy who's, like, solidified himself as number two. Young's a guy who's had a good season. Look at last season.
He's not unbeatable, but he's very good.
Yeah. Last season, the dude didn't qualify for nationals. Like, I think if Chase Aldate has a draw, this may be a good one. And Young, if he beats Young, he's going to have the – when a freshman gets the mentality, that's when it becomes scary.
Yeah.
You saw that firsthand when Makai Lewis upset Alex Marinelli. The dude caught fire. I thought Evan Wick would be this dude's kryptonite because he's long and he can cradle.
Yeah.
Went right through Evan Wick. Chenzo, I'm not picking against Chenzo National Finals. Handled the dude in the finals, you know?
Yeah.
And
it was
now
what, like,
you
81?
See. Yeah, something like that. 7-1, I think. Yeah, that being said, I think it's Deacon's weight. I don't think anybody's really going to argue that at this point. I think Iowa fans are obviously going to argue Caleb Young, but Deacon has proven himself.
Well, I mean, that's a fair – that is a fair argument because, to be fair, I feel like Caleb Young has been criminally underrated.
He has, yeah. But I think, again, the run at Big Ten's, what was it, last
year? Kind of weird that, like, the thing that gave him the most recognition was that absolutely nasty throw.
Against Steve Blyce. Yeah, I remember that. I posted on TikTok.
I'm still trying to figure out how he did that.
Yeah, I posted on TikTok, got like 800,000 views.
Yeah, warranted. Yeah, there were like non-wrestlers commenting on that. Like, yeah, wrestling seems pretty hard.
Yeah, like normally you get the wrestling is sus comments. Now you get wrestling is kind of hard. I'm like, oh, nice. That's a change. You know, people are starting to – this sport is growing faster than ever now. You know, that's why, again, I thought it was a great time to start the podcast. So it started as a thing. I was in quarantine. I was bored. So maybe we'll start it up. But now, like, I'm actually having, like, genuine fun doing it and people, like, listen to it. I'm getting, like, a lot of good feedback on it. So,
yeah.
That being said, let's hop into 165. I want to say this, but for being a one seed, Alex Marinelli has a hell path set in front of him. Garrett Nijenhuis is one of the best freshman recruits out there. May not have the greatest season, but he is good. And he will give Alex Marinelli a match. I can't assume that Andrew Sparks doesn't beat Cameron Amin. I think he beats him. I think it's maybe a close match, but Sparks is again a guy like he has the toughness to get through that. Sparks, I think, gives Marinelli a match. I don't think Sparks beats him, as we talked about. I think it's a very contested match, but again, who's meeting the finals? Dan Bronigal.
So the thing with
good man, like if he gives Alex Marinelli a match, it may just wear him out to the point of breaking.
Yeah. So what? Because with guys like Sparks, you talk about guys with this scrambling ability, like those are the guys with like massive upset potential. And I think in like the first episode or so that I was on here, I talked about like my view on like wrestlers with upset potential, and I think I was talking about guys like Suriano, who like they keep very good position and they could always hit like a double to your back. But there's also guys like Andrew Sparks, Jason Nolth to a degree. Although Jason Nolth was never really upsetting anyone. And then you have like Seth Gross, who like no one would have, well, it's South Dakota State. When was the last time they had a national finalist ever?
I don't think so, but, you know, that being,
yeah, so that being said. Guys, you know, like that present such a challenge in that, you know, they could suddenly just hit like a 5-point move and then bam, now they're ahead and then they close out the match. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think that Andrew Sparks over Cam Amin to wrestle Marinelli in the semis is completely out of this world. And again, we did, I think, like a whole section on this, and I don't think Sparks beating Marinelli is completely out of the question either. Now, Marinelli is obviously established at the weight. He's very solid. But, I mean, like you said, this is also a very, very tough path to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's what I've been saying. Like, as a one seed, like, he has a hard draw. You know, and I don't want to say it, 165, cursed weight class. It's been said again and again. You know, I'm not going to say anything else besides that. My predicted winner is Alex Marinelli, though. I don't.
Yeah.
He shows up Big Tens, you know. Maybe this 4 weeks has affected Iowa in some way that we don't know, and somehow their entire team tanks. You know, that could also happen. But also, I severely doubt that.
It could, because what? They've gone 4 weeks without competition, right? I mean, it also could make them a lot better. Like, they have all that time to just peak for one thing. So
yeah, I could 100% see that. And I can 100% see Cassiope making the finals at heavyweight. And I see that for the sole fact that if Kirk Vicious Paris is a brawl and they're tired, Cassiope knows how to conserve energy.
Yeah.
He's most likely going to wrestle Hilger in like a 3-2 match. But we'll get to that later. So, predicted winner, Alex Marinelli. I'm assuming you have Marinelli too right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's the fair choice. 174 is, I think, the biggest weight class we're going to have. I don't think we have any first round really great matchups. But I think once we get into the quarterfinals, we're going to have some huge matchups right there.
Yep, obviously, we've got Siraki Romero, Donnell Massa, possibly. Yeah.
I don't know about Turley versus Labriola, but I think Labriola is a guy who kind of, and Kemmerer guys kind of get lucky, don't really have real matches until the semis. You know, Labriola is going to face Starachi in the semis, which is going to be, may just be the best match of the tournament.
Absolute barn burner, guaranteed.
And they both can scramble, they both are sound in every single position. you know, Kemmerer versus Logan Massa is probably going to be one of the most boring semifinal matches in this tournament.
I get that Massa is really technical and really good, but that dude just does not wrestle in a very exciting way.
He's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, people say that as like, you want to put on a show for the fans, but I'd rather ultimately have a guy. I'd rather have a guy that wins all his matches than a guy who tech falls half his punch and loses some, you know?
Yeah.
My predicted winner.
Crazy thing about this. I was looking up Donnell Washington like the other day, and he had a match with Alex Facundo.
Yep.
It was like the finals of some tournament at like 160. Mm-hmm. And dude, it was like the first 20 seconds and Donald just launched Facundo. It was some of the, it was the crazy goddamn thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. The dude is, that's a dude who's very underrated. And you know, it sucks because it's just because he goes to Indiana. Like, that's it.
Yeah. If he went to like pretty much any other Big Ten school, then
he would be the talk of the Big Ten. His only loss is to Mike Vilabriola this season. And that's not a bad loss to have. That's the guy who's going to play his top five in the country no matter what. You know, my predicted this, I have whoever comes out of the bottom half winning it. I like Labriola. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Storaci too. You know, I'm a Penn State fan, but I'm more of a fan of Labriola. I think the dude has been very underrated for his entire career. But who's your pick for 174?
I'm just caught between Kemmerer and Storaci.
I think Storaci matches up kind of good.
I think he matches up well with Kemmerer, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely a different – it's a very different feel than, like, what's been at Penn State at 174 for the past few years, right? Like,
yeah, of course.
I feel like Storaci is a little bit more offensively focused than Mark Hall, although Mark Hall is just so insanely well-rounded, it's kind of hard to get a read on him.
Yeah. Again, being said that, you know, what Michael Kemmerer doesn't have any crazy fast shots. Like, he's a guy who's, again, like a gritty wrestler. He'll get in on
he's
the
got
shots.
A great outside power.
Yeah. And again, Storaci's not a guy who's going to. Storaci has very good defense from those positions.
Yeah.
And that's something that the freshman has that's insane. So
I think. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I just got a gut feeling that Kemmerer pulls it out.
Yeah. I can agree with basically anybody from number one to number six, I'll be honest, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, let's hop into 184. Let's see what goes down here. So, biggest match it has to stick out to you. Nelson Brands versus Zach Barnegle in the round of 16.
Yes.
That is absolutely insane. I think both of those guys can All-American.
Yeah.
And that just sets up Aaron Brooks for not a very easy quarterfinal match, as he should get, right? Looking at that, you have Taylor Venz versus Kyle Cochran from Maryland. Cochran's probably one of the best Maryland wrestlers out there. Again, probably not saying much, but Taylor Venz, I think, beats him. I think Taylor Venz cruises into the semis, where he will most likely meet Chris Weiler from Wisconsin, who he dropped a one-point match to. Venz hasn't been on the best streak so far. But I think time come, if he gets everything straightened out, he's cruising into the finals. You know, that being said, let's look at the top half of the bracket. I think Brands versus Barnacles, it was an overtime matchup last time, you know? And Brands was close to winning, and then he scooped the back legs, spun around. That's really all that happened right there. I have Barnacle winning again. I think Barnacle has been really underrated so far, and I think he's done everything right. So, same thing with Nelson Brands last season when he came out firing. Again, he had huge wins, and they ended up getting benched, you know?
Yeah.
But looking at the second quadrant, I think you would call it, of the bracket, you have John Posnanski from Rutgers, Jaden Bullock from Michigan, John Halverson from Northwestern, Owen Webster from Minnesota. I have John Posnanski over Jaden Bullock, and I have Owen Webster over John Halverson. And I do think John Posnanski beats Owen Webster here.
Yeah,
that's
probably
just personal preference. It was a close match. Owen Webster beat him. You know, didn't look like the greatest wrestled match from Posnanski. I think Posnanski gives Brooks more run for his money than people think. I think he keeps it to decision, like 2 to 3 points. That's bold on my part, but take that for what
it's worth. A little bit.
You know, I don't think he wins it. You know, I'll be honest. I would hope he wins it. He did divide the odds his entire career. One eye has a state championship. Tech fold and pin the entire state senior year. After I saw him do that, nothing's fucking impossible out here. So, you know, my pick again is I have Aaron Brooks over Taylor Venz in the finals. I think that's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's like 9 times out of 10, that's the outcome. So,
yeah, I think again, Venz kind of gets screwed over because of past performance. But that being said, let's hop into 197. So,
yep.
You know, here, the man that everybody talks about, the undefeated wrestlers are Eric Schultz and Miles Amin.
Yep.
Miles Amin kind of gets off lucky because he meets – Miles Amin actually has a harder path than I would think, right?
Yeah.
He meets – most likely going to meet Michael Bearden in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and then
– and I'll be Jacob honest, Warren. I wouldn't be surprised if Bearden beats him.
Yeah.
It's a long shot, but – again, look at Penn State's upper weight room. We've talked about this over and over again. You know, if he reminds me of anybody, it's like a young Cale Sanderson or Jake Varner. You know, obviously not as good, but
yeah,
that's not saying much, obviously. The dude's insane. I think with those people and guys, Miles means a very beatable guy. And you have to realize that's a guy that Cale Sanderson's coached Mark Hall to beat multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, and Logan Mass is a guy that Cale Sanderson has coached Vincenzo Joseph to beat multiple times.
Yes.
Michael Kemmerer is a guy that Cale Sanderson has coached Mark Hall and Jason Nolf to beat a good amount of times. So that's where it kind
of – they're amazing game planners.
Yeah, that's where I see the problem here, right? And then you meet Jacob Warner, I'm assuming. No, actually, I do have Thomas Panola over Jacob Warner there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Panola was actually beating Cameron Caffey till he got latch up too. So I think that's going to be a very good match right there. But again, yeah. I have Miles Amin making the finals right now. I think that's a safe option. I would not be surprised if he got upset somewhere. I'll be honest right now. But
yeah,
top half of the bracket, there's only two real names: Eric Schultz, Cameron Caffey. They mean the semis. Yeah. What do you think happens?
Cameron Caffey, I mean, always could pull off something crazy, but I mean. Yeah, I mean, I don't see like any like massive problems that he presents for Eric Schultz. Yeah. I mean, Kathy's, you know, obviously insanely athletic. He's got a good duck. He's got good, you know, he's good at the stuff that like a well-rounded Greco guy tends to be, right? Because he wrestled at like what, UWW Juniors? He wrestled the Greco bracket.
I think so. Yeah.
So I mean, so is that kind of like stylistic thing where like, you know, he's got a good duck, and he's mobile, but I mean, I just still don't see the move to 197. I feel like at 184, he was a good bit better. So, I mean, yeah, I got Schultz beating him and making the finals and ultimately winning the whole damn thing.
Yeah, no, I have Schultz winning the whole thing here, and I have him winning it in wherever the hell Nationals are, you know? I think Caffey comes back and places fourth.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I have. I think Beard can beat Caffey. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yep.
I don't think he did the first time they wrestled. I don't think they've ever wrestled, actually, now that being said. But, you know, what you guys have been waiting for, what happened to the heavyweights now, let's run through it. First round, obviously, Gable Steveson, Mason Paris get byes. Christian Robitaille versus Tate Orndorff's 8-9 matchup. Theoretically, should be competitive, but this was not close last time they wrestled. It was 12-2. Heavyweight takes a steep drop-off after number 8, and that's just how it is, right? Christian Lance versus Dorian Keyes is most likely going to be very dominant for Christian Lance. Rudy Streck versus Luke Luffman. Again, Luke Luffman most likely handles it. No disrespect, you know. Tony Cassidy versus Garrett Kappes. You know, Garrett Kappes, you know, you got to feel for the dude. Dude's a walk-on, had to face Gable Steveson, Mason Paris, Greg Kirk.
I mean, hey, dude.
Now Tony Cassidy.
If you're a starter in the Big Ten, you got my respect.
Yeah. You know, like, people want to shit on him a lot. The dude would most likely win matches in other conferences. You know, it's not going to happen in the Big Ten, though.
Yeah.
And that's just rough. Christian Colucci versus Trent Hilger. That's more of a toss-up match, but I think Hilger probably takes it the way Colucci's been wrestling. And Jack Hay versus Greg Kirkfleet, right? Let's walk into our quarterfinal matchups right here. So we're going to have Gable versus Orndorff. Orndorff.
Gable.
Gets teched. You know, I think – Orndorff went 7 minutes with him last time. I don't think he gets pinned. If Orndorff wrestles good, he doesn't get pinned. He gets pinned because he goes for big moves, not because he gets caught.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Lance versus Loftman is going to be the story of the quarterfinals right after Paris versus Kirklia, right? Went to double overtime, right?
Did Loftman beat Lance, or was it the other way around?
Loftman beat Lance on a straight up just bad shot in the go behind double overtime. That's all it was. My money's on Lance. I'll be honest. Nebraska is having one of their best years right now. You know, if Isaiah White was still here, they may be in contention for the title. Mm-hmm. All you need is a couple matches to go your way, and that's really it. But I have Christian Lance winning this one. Cassiope versus Hilger. I'm putting a real dilemma here for this whole fact that I think Hilger can win. But Cassiope's won the past two times, so I'm going to have to pick Cassiope here. It's toss-up. I wouldn't be surprised if Hilger wins. I think they're 1-2 right after each other.
It would be surprising. I'm kind of rooting for Hilger, but, consistency and just
– Yeah. I'm never going to pick against a guy who's been an All-American. You know, they show up when it matters. You know, titles are won in March. You can take at the Big Tens, but as long as you still qualify for Nationals, there's always a chance.
Yeah.
You know, Kirkfleet versus Paris, talk about that. I think we decide on winner Kirkfleet. We'll probably run through both of them. So, Tony Cassiope versus Greg Kirkfleet. I don't think – I'll be honest, Cassiope's kind of on an island of himself right now, right? I think he could be upset by them, and he could possibly pull an upset. But I just don't see that happening right now.
Yeah.
Let's look at the top of the bracket. Gable Steveson versus Christian Lance. 23-7 Tech fall. Let's just be honest, the finals. What I would say, the finals, we're not making a call on that yet. If you watch this, let us know who you have winning. And give us a score and who they beat. If you're right, I'll pin the comment. You know, I'll give you a shout out on Instagram or something. I guess so. All right. So this is just our little run through of the first day of Big Tens. You know, kind of looking through some finals and stuff. I think that's all speculation right now. We'll have a more defined path time come tomorrow. So we should be filming a really good episode for you guys tomorrow. So I really hope you guys enjoyed. And this has been Late Night Shots episode 53, Big Ten Day 1 preview. Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you guys again next time.
All right. Peace.